Let's hear now an ancient hymn of praise from the 148th Psalm. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise God, all his angels, and praise him, all his hosts. Praise God, sun and moon, and praise all you shining stars. Praise God, you highest heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for God commanded that they were created, and God established them forever and ever, fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all the deeps. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord. For God's name alone is exalted, and his glory is above earth and heaven. God has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but God's word stands forever. Amen." Our New Testament reading comes from the penultimate chapter of the book of Revelation, the visions of John of Patmos, which clearly and repeatedly riff on and upend the violence and destruction that were wrought by Emperor Domitian of Rome. These visions, he's cycled three times through seven metaphors, and each of those cycles depict the fall of Babylon and the judgment of its people. And each time in those cycles, at least one place, it is interrupted by an oracle of salvation for the faithful. In the couple of chapters before we read today, Babylon has fallen. And all of the powerful people, the wealthy merchants, and those who profited from Babylon's cruelty are weeping over the flames. John hears the weeping of the kings of the earth and of the merchants of the earth. Quote, "Alas, alas, woe, woe to the great city, clothed in finest linen, adorned with gold and jewels and with pearls. For in one hour, all of this wealth has been laid to waste," they cry. And then, in the next chapter, chapter 19, John turns and he hears something different. He hears the loud voices of a great multitude praising God and saying, "Hallelujah," praising God that the great city had become a smoldering ruins, because that city's greatness had always come at a great cost to the common person. The great crowd praises God for the fall of Babylon, and Christ returns and finally completely establishes peace, ending the ways of the beast and its armies. And then we read today from chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, where John the visionary writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, look, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them and will be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' And also he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. And those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. Hopper and I were driving down Chapman Highway yesterday, and he hit me with his usual question, what's that? Now, when it comes to what's that questions, I'm kind of a rock star. I don't mean to brag, but I can handle a what's that question. I'm pretty good at naming things when asked. Door, house, tree, lamp, fire extinguisher. I'm on it. So yesterday, he hits me. We're driving, and he hits me with a what's that? And I say, easy peasy, bud. That's a gas station. Done and dusted. But then, and I was not prepared, I got a follow-up. He said to me, why is it a gas station? Why is it a gas station? I mean, that's existential right there. Is it because of the desires of the business owner? The demands of our heavily car-based transportation infrastructure, the glacial pace of the green energy investment, the higher cost of lower impact alternatives? After I thought for a few seconds, I decided to keep it as simple as possible, and I said, because that's where they sell gas for people to use in their cars, but that's why it's a gas station. So we've entered the why stage of toddler parenting. And honestly, I've never considered why is it a sweatshirt. So my confidence as a parent has taken a little dip. In our scripture reading for today, we have a description of the transformation of reality from an old way to a new way. And one of the questions I think we avoid when we're thinking about our faith is not just the what's, but the why's. Because whys have more than one answer, often, don't they? There's not always one answer to a why question. That's why they're a bit more difficult, at least for me. What does the text call the first things? We're moving from the first things to a new way, and that first set of first things seems to be a modus operandi that includes things like death and mourning, and crying and pain. And those first things are being transformed into a new reality, a new heavens and a new earth. The completion of a union between the two. The old ways have gone, and the new ways have come. The way things are and the way things should be have met. And the place where they meet is here on earth. John describes the product of this meeting in great detail for the rest of the chapter. We didn't read all of it this morning, but I would love for you to when you get the chance. Because as he describes this new Jerusalem, this place where heaven and earth meet, he describes it as a place of eternal peace and abundance, and very specifically as having four sides of a particular length, that there were the foundations of these walls were bejeweled by 12 different precious stones. And there was gold everywhere, but that gold was also as transparent as glass. There were 12 gates into this city, three on each of its four sides. And the gates are perpetually open, it says. And then in verse 22, we read this. I saw no temple in the city. There was no temple there, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. Now, it's likely that I could not overestimate to you the importance of the temple when we're reading the Bible. The people who put together this text thought about the world through the lens of a temple. And they, the authors, the audience, had seen the devastation and destruction of the temple. Most of the material that we have in the Bible was put together as a response to a destruction of a temple once in 587 BC. That was a part of the original exile to Babylon. And then again in the year 70 CE, in a siege, in a battle to destroy these uprisings in Judea, about 30 years after Jesus' life.